for superior bulk feed and livestock supplies, trust the animal experts at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. And remember, you can buy online and pick up at the store. You don't even have to get out of your car with our new drive-thru service.
Want to give your mind a thrill ride? Fasten your metal seatbelt, then gently turn up your radio from 9 till 2. Glenn Klein will be on WRJN. And chances are, your life will never be the same.
Parenting is so simple, a caveman could do it. I'm John Tesh. I'll share Stone Age tips for raising smart, well-adjusted kids next in today's Intelligence for Your Life Minute. Function. And finally, Stone Age parents offered more cuddling. Cribs didn't exist, so infants were held constantly. Why is that important? Because when we're born, we're hardwired to feel stressed. But infants who are cuddled and soothed are better able to cope with stress as adults and experience fewer mood swings. John Tesh with today's Intelligence for Your Life Minute.
WRJN AccuWeather forecast for today and tonight. Plenty of cloudiness. The high today 42, the low tonight 34 degrees. Tomorrow mostly cloudy with a brief shower or two in the afternoon, high 40. Then tomorrow night there could be a mixture of rain and wet snow. Looking ahead to Wednesday, cloudy with a couple of snow showers, the high 40 degrees. Turning colder Thursday and Friday, back to winter at that point. Rocky weather. I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Muchas gracias, EA. Right now in Kenosha, cloudy and 38 degrees. It is cloudy and 37 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 39 in clouds at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN. Cloudy skies, 38 degrees. The wind is out of the northwest at 7 miles an hour, producing a wind chill index, not too bad, of 33. The dew point is 35 degrees. The relative humidity is 89%, and the barometric pressure is rising at 29.77. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock, and good morning. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin for, thank God, it's Monday, January 23rd, 2017, the only 1-23-2-17 in the history of humanity. Let us choose on purpose, with a purpose, to give a great week.
Now that your picture's in the paper being perfectly admired, you can have anyone that you have ever desired. All you gotta tell me now is wow, 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 wow. Welcome to the working week.
Dancing, dancing, dancing in the streets. Dancing, dancing, dancing in the streets. Just give an invitation across the nation. The chance for folks to meet. They'll be swinging and swaying. Music playing. Dancing in the streets. Dig out the RPA. Baltimore and Christina. Can't forget that noise. All they need is music. Sweet music. There'll be music everywhere. They'll be laughing and singing. Music sweet. And dancing in the streets. It doesn't matter what you wear. Just as long as you are there. So come on, every guy. Grab a girl. Everywhere around the world. Dancing, dancing, dancing in the streets. Dancing.
A little Grateful Dead for you on a Thank God It's Monday morning, 15 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up in one nice, neat, lovable package. Glenn Klein in the studio. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know we might not feel like dancing in the streets after that debacle in Hotlanta yesterday, but good run for the Packers. 4-6 at one point in the season, and you end up in the NFC Championship and run into a buzzsaw named the Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan, and they are headed to Super Bowl 51 in Houston to take on the New England Patriots. The Patriots going for their 7th time to the big game 2 weeks from yesterday. And Mike Clemens will be there covering all the action for 2 weeks, which means I get to fill in, as I did for him this morning, on the early shift. Very excited about that. But when you're facing depression and you're bummed out, we know that the ancient scriptures say that laughter is like good medicine. And so I can think of no better place to go for some yucks than to the Racine Theater Guild. They're having a hilarious comedy all month this month on the weekends called Exit Laughing. Connie, Leona, Millie, and Mary have been bridge partners for years. And then when Mary passes away, the three remaining friends do what's logical. They steal Mary's urn. Whether they do with Mary's remains what Keith Richards did with his dad's remains to be seen. But you'll have to go to see the performance. It's when the hilarity really takes off. Exit Laughing is a comedy about friendship, loss, and living life to the fullest. Visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets. Well, we'll see if he has some laughter in store for us. Please welcome to Community Conversations back to the WRJN microphones, Mr. Ken Brown. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had. Ken, of course, is the proprietor of Eye Openers, a fine optical upscale eyeglass joint in Racine. Also very active in Republican Tea Party politics, one of the original Tea Party guys, conservative. I met Ken it seems like so long ago, mm-hmm. on a warm summer evening over there by the Reef Point Marina at the Southeast Wisconsin Cigar Society meeting. And at that point, we got into pretty much a heated discussion because I told you that I thought Donald Trump could win the presidency. You, as a good conservative Republican, would have none of it.
No chance whatsoever is that going to happen.
Yeah. Then what happened?
And then he won. Wow. And everybody's dumbfounded. All the experts were wrong. And I tell you what, he hit it right out of the gate this morning. He's already withdrawn us from the TPP, which was a little controversial. And that's pretty amazing. I'm not sure how the pink-hatted people will be responding to that this morning or if they have any idea what TPP actually is.
Well, we talked last week about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the fact that Mr. Trump, now President Trump, was going to withdraw us from TPP. And we talked to Senator Tammy Baldwin about that last week. And she had just introduced legislation to that effect before the Senate with a number of co-sponsors that were not any Republicans in that. But here, Trump's doing her work for her, her liberal work for her.
And she wanted to withdraw from TPP.
And she wants to withdraw, okay, as Bernie did, Bernie Sanders. That was a big deal for him.
I do remember Bernie talking about that as well. Good to see. He's a populist guy. He's not a conservative like me, which is why I thought he would not have a chance of making it through. But he wound up getting a lot of Republican support. In fact, he not only won Racine County, he also even won Kenosha County. First guy since 1972 Republican to win Kenosha County, which is pretty amazing. I think it was 175 votes.
Did Ken Brown vote for him?
I did. At 7 in the morning on Election Day, I finally decided that I would vote for Donald Trump. Supreme Court issues were one of the main reasons for it. Not Hillary was another main reason for it. And the biggest reason for it for me was that I wanted Paul Ryan to be able to go in and run the country. So it's my hope and prayer that Paul Ryan is actually going to be doing all the work and deciding what actually gets onto Mr. Trump's desk besides whatever he decides to do with executive orders.
How would you respond if President Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court would end up being the deciding vote in overturning Roe versus Wade, making it federally illegal for a woman to have freedom or pro-choice, freedom of choice, or be able to not exercise her pro-choice rights?
Actually, what would happen if Roe versus Wade were to be overturned is every single one of our states has provisions for abortion, and anything that wasn't right locally at every state level, those issues could be changed.
That's not reason, what I asked, however.
The reason Roe versus Wade is seen as a wrong decision by so many people is it's really not a federal issue, it's a state's rights issue.
That's not what I asked, whether you thought Roe versus Wade was a state's rights issue. How would you feel as a conservative, as somebody that voted for Trump because of the Supreme Court, if they overturned Roe versus Wade? How would you personally feel about that?
I would personally be in favor of that. I was a rather young man when Roe versus Wade was put into effect. I remember hearing a lot of discussion at that particular time because I was just starting to become somewhat politically aware, and I had aunts and uncles on one side and my mom and dad on other sides discussing the issue, even though it was, you know, a little bit over my head at the time. But then over the years, I believe it was wrongly decided, and it ultimately should go back to the states. And I believe every state will allow for, you know, probably the first 90 days abortions on demand without any problem. I'm not in favor of abortion, but it's not the biggest issue that I use when deciding who to vote for and how to vote.
He's local business owner Ken Brown. He is an original founder or activist in the Tea Party, as well as in the Racine County Republican Party and the conservative wing of the Republicans. You mentioned, Ken, that the pink hats, which are euphemistically, because they look like little kitty cats, pussy caps, and we know what that's referencing, mm-hmm. what now President Trump said on that Access Hollywood video. There were millions of people that marched worldwide. Do you know what their response was? It would be? If Roe versus Wade,
there would probably be 3 or 4 million of them wearing pink hats.
There would be riots,
and I don't know that they would riot. I mean, they demonstrated pretty soundly on Saturday, I believe it was.
I'll tell you what it'd be. Remember that band in Russia that Putin had arrested, the Pussy Riots?
Vaguely recall that.
That's what would happen. No, but I mean, this outpouring of consternation and protest against a president who was just inaugurated on Friday is really remarkable. And they're saying, and somebody that was involved with the Tea Party from its onset, that this is their answer, the left's answer to the Tea Party. What is your take on that, Kemper?
I agree that is exactly what they're trying to create. We waited about 4 months into President Obama's term before things really got activated. We saw him do a lot of things in a short amount of time that made conservatives like myself very, very wary of where we were going. And we were very much in the minority. We didn't have the House. We didn't have the Senate. We didn't have the governorships. We had just lost the presidency. A fine man like John McCain up against an unknown senator from Illinois with 15 minutes of service in the United States Senate suddenly is telling General Motors president that he has to quit or be fired. Like, you don't get to have that authority. The Obamacare that was just starting to be rolled out and some of the other regulations, the bailouts that a lot of conservatives were mad at Bush for, McCain for, and Obama for, as they all kind of coalesced together before that election in 2008 to get those things into place. Going back to that Roe versus Wade decision, I don't think Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned now or ever. I think it's just going to simply – the number of abortions around across America are actually on the decrease and have been for the last dozen years or so. There's plenty of other options. There are a lot of people taking advantage of either being safe, using natural rhythm methods, et cetera.
I think it is going to be overturned. I think this is a huge issue still for the religious right. They supported Trump in massive numbers, amazingly, in the last election, and I think this is going to be payback. I think you're going to see Roe versus Wade overturned. But as you said, it is true. Then each state will determine the availability of abortion. But here's the difference between the Tea Party and what's happening now. The Tea Party was an organic, spontaneous movement that was spurred on by a guy on CNBC named Rick Santelli. Mm-hmm. That was the last
Rick Santelli.
Yeah. And he just kind of had a meltdown one day on camera and talked about that there needs to be a modern Tea Party. Mm-hmm. And then slowly but surely, Tea Parties all over the country sprung out. And then remember that the left tried to have the answer at that point. They called them coffee parties. You might not even have heard that, beautiful humans.
I did, yes.
But my listeners might not have. That's how effective that was. Everybody's heard of the Tea Parties. Then, of course, we had Occupy Wall Street.
Which was essentially the same thing. The same funding came from George Soros.
That did absolutely nothing. Then we had Black Lives Matter.
Another George Soros-funded activist group.
And now we have this massive outpouring of frustration
by primarily liberal women. Even and speaking of abortion, they would not allow pro-life women who wanted to protest Donald Trump to be part of the leadership of that rally. And then you have Madonna, for example, stand up and say that she had to admit that she has often thought about blowing up the White House. Now, just imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody at any point of a Democrat administration, whether it be Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, had suggested that, that would be all over the media as an outrage. I wonder even if the Secret Service is going to go talk to Ms. Madonna.
I'm actually hearing that that she may very well be interviewed. I don't think it'll actually go anywhere. But,
of course it won't.
Because she kind of, she was reading words. That's just it. She didn't just say those spontaneously. She had written them down, and she was reading a speech that either she wrote or somebody else wrote.
And I'm sure it was true.
And if you listen to her little, 5 minutes or so tirade, she really doesn't have a clue why she was there, I don't think. And as the man on the street interviews, or woman on the street in this particular case, were going on all the different medias, nobody seems to have an idea of why they were all marching other than the idea of marching. Now, getting a bunch of lefties together in Washington, D.C., Chicago, Madison, where they all live and breathe, isn't really that big of a feat. If they were able to pull that together and get together in, say, Burlington, Wisconsin, 75,000 to 100,000 people to march there in a conservative area, that would be impressive. But the idea that you just basically have to walk out your front door and go march in the streets of Washington, D.C., where you already live and are already 95% liberal, I should say 70% liberal, isn't really that big of a feat.
No, I think it was a big feat. I think it was an amazing outpouring of frustration, and at least a heads up, which the Trump administration doesn't seem to be heeding at all. Friday, right before President Trump's inaugural address, I had Democratic leader Peter Barca on, and I asked Leader Barca about what his feelings were going into the inaugural address of President-elect at that time Trump. And here is what the Democratic Assembly Leader of the great state of Wisconsin, Peter Barca, had to say.
So it's a fascinating period that we're in now, and obviously we hope and pray for the best as Donald Trump takes the oath today. I hope he rises to the occasion and gets away from tweeting and gets into acting very presidential. That's my hope.
Yeah, well, you can hope all day long, but that ain't going to happen. There's no way. All right, so that was last Friday, right before anybody knew what President Trump was going to give in his inaugural address. And then we saw one of the most divisive, horrific, militant, nationalistic inaugural addresses, maybe in the history of the country. And it spoke to his supporters, without a question. But he absolutely did the president blow a golden opportunity to lower the temperature in the country. He ripped into all the former presidents that were sitting just a few feet to his left. It was outrageous. Then on Saturday, he goes to the CIA and he's trying to mend fences there. And he is whining about the coverage on the size of his crowd in front of the CIA Wall of Memorial of our heroes in the intelligence community that have given their lives. Ken, this guy is not going to change. And I said on social media, and I absolutely believe this, this man has a massive inferiority complex. He's clearly insecure about the size of his mandate. Everything's about size, the size of his hands, the size of his crowds, the ratings, everything in comparison to somebody else. This man is president of the United States, and I'm not saying that he's not going to come up with some good policies in working with Paul Ryan and with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, but this guy's an absolute joke.
There is a lot of stuff that is very, very theatrical about Donald Trump. There is no question about that, and he's going to fight back on every single issue that that he gets challenged on, even if whether it's crowd size, hand size, or whatever.
I'm going after
Paul Ryan. Mr. Ryan, please make sure that this man does responsible stuff with legislation and pick the right Supreme Court justices, because there's a lot of things that are very, very important there for the long term. By the way, I think that's going to be Diane Sykes or William Pryor.
They've got a romance going on now, where they were really, I mean, Ryan distanced himself, to say the least, from the Republican nominee for president. And Trump said some very negative things about our congressman here from the first district and the Speaker of the House. But we'll see. But let me tell you something, folks. Donald Trump is not going to change.
Would you like to work in broadcasting? There are so many more jobs than being on camera or behind a microphone, including sales, engineering, IT, tech support, office, marketing, graphic design, and more. Join us this Wednesday morning from 8:30 to 10:30 at the Concourse Hotel in Madison for the WBA Career Fair. Radio and TV stations from around Wisconsin will be there. We'll have a Magnum.media booth to answer your questions about our career opportunities. No need to pre-register. Magnum.media is an equal opportunity employer.
We will continue our conversation with Ken Brown on the other side of WRJN's award-winning news director Tom Carco's report.
Tom Carco and the...
We've had quite a break from midwinter-style weather, but it looks like it is coming back at the end of the week, into the weekend, and early next week. How long it lasts after that remains to be seen. But in the meantime, not too cold. Today and tonight, plenty of cloudiness. High today, 42. Low tonight, 34. More mostly cloudy. A brief shower or two in the afternoon. High 40. Could be a little bit of rain and wet snow tomorrow night. Then Wednesday, cloudy with a couple of snow showers. High 37 to 41. Looking into Thursday and Friday, it'll be colder, so that by the end of the week, day and nighttime temperatures will be below freezing. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, WRJN.
Right now in Kenosha, cloudy skies, 38 degrees, 36 in Burlington, Milwaukee 39, and it's 38 in Racine. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.
You know, TK, we had a presidential inauguration on Friday. You might have seen it in the news.
I was watching sports.
That was, if that's what you want to call what we saw on Sunday, I'm not sure that was exactly a competitive sporting event. But there is all, believe it or not, Trump just taking office, he's only been there for 72 hours, there's already speculation who might be running against him in 2020.
Hard to believe.
You ready for this?
Sure, go ahead.
Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. He'll be 36 years old. He's already hired David Plouffe, who led President Obama's successful campaign. I saw him on the news yesterday wearing a suit.
He doesn't wear suits?
Never.
I don't know.
T-shirt and blue jeans.
Okay.
Would not fit in here at Magnum.media that way. He has made it a New Year's resolution to visit all 50 states by the end of the year. He says, "My work is about connecting the world and giving everyone a voice. I want to personally hear more of those voices this year." He would be 36 years old. He will be 36 years old if he lives long enough. In 2020.
Uh-huh.
The president, 74. That would be a very interesting contrast in 2020.
Yeah. Well, can't say a businessman couldn't win. Obviously, that's been disproved.
And obviously, Zuckerberg has more followers than even the tweeting president. He does.
The sitting president.
He would never accept that Zuckerberg's followers are larger than his.
Alternative facts.
That exactly right.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Deb Carson.
The Packers had seven players leave the game with injuries yesterday. They didn't have enough offensive linemen to finish the contest, which led to defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon having to play some right guard in the final minutes. Aaron Rodgers says this shows just how big home field advantage really is.
You know, sleep in your own bed and practice and not have to travel and then, have the fan support. It makes a big difference. We've played in three of these now and all on the road. It's tough to win on the road.
I'm Bill Scott. That's the latest from Titletown. I'll have more later on the Wisconsin Radio Network.
He's thought-provoking and a whole lot of other things, too. Glenn Klein, 9 till 2, right here on WRJN.
of these nights. Those were the Eagles and the late, great Glenn Frey on your radio, friend. It's 14 minutes until 10 o'clock on your Thank God It's Monday Morning. This is the very much alive and the sometimes not so great Glenn Klein in studio. Well, it was one of those nights last night for the Packers. Jeez, whew, that was brutal. Ken Brown is in studio with us. He is the proprietor of the Upscale Eyewear Shop, Eye Openers in Racine. He's an early activist, was with the Tea Party, a Racine County Republican, very much a conservative. Did you watch the game?
I did watch the game.
That was brutal.
Had enough beers to take off the poison and the hurt from it. That worked out pretty well. I checked out one of our local establishments down here at Ivanhoe. They always take really good care of you on game night. Game days.
I wonder if there are more hungover people in our fine state today, given the result yesterday, or would there have been more if the Packers would have won? What say you?
Oh, there would be more hangovers if the Packers had won, because they would have continued drinking. Otherwise, they went home at 5 o'clock when the game was over.
Oh, I think. You think?
I think so, yeah.
That's your theory?
Yeah. Well, I went out to watch the later game and have cigars out at Reef Point last night afterwards, and almost nobody was out there. So I assume they all decided, yeah, enough football for this year till Super Bowl.
See, I postulize that there might be more hangovers today because that game was a major buzzkill. And so you had to drink more just to get yourself back up to where you were.
Well, there wasn't as many shots given because there wasn't as many touchdowns either.
That's a very good point.
That's that extra sugar.
Yeah, I did not imbibe last night because I had to be in the station by about 4:30 this morning. So
And my theory is the shots and the beer combination is what really gets people more drunk and then therefore more hungover.
I think your theory is probably
drink more water, eat more cheese, eat more potato products. And mix that in with your beer and shots.
And now
And I'm not a professional drinker or anything like that.
You sound like a professional drinker.
I've done it a couple of times, and I think I've got it down now pretty good.
You're an amateur.
I'm an amateur that doesn't get hangovers and doesn't like to throw up.
You're well practiced, but you're not being paid to drink.
Correct.
That's what you're paying to drink, actually.
Right.
You know, I think that it was a great season. I think that the injuries caught up with the Packers, and we just ran into a bunch of circumstances, including the fact that the Packers could not get out of Green Bay because they were fogged in. They had to take a bus to Mitchell in Milwaukee. That's a 2-hour schlep.
Right.
Got to pile all those big guys into a bus. You know, I'm sure it was a nice bus, but it's not like getting on a plane. And then right away, I knew that the Packers were in trouble because Clay Matthews, in a pregame interview, was talking about the delay of getting from Green Bay to Milwaukee to Atlanta. I thought, that's not what you should be talking about, Clay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Mason Crosby missed for him what is a chip shot.
Right.
And that really thwarted the momentum switch. And then when Ripkowski fumbled that ball. And
when it was 17-0, I was having a discussion with two ladies who knew less about football than I do. Not that I'm a major expert, but they knew less than I did. And I said, you know, between the missed this and the we lost the ball on like the 13-yard line and we were almost in, I said, this should be a tie game right now.
And they had two interceptions they should have had. Matt Ryan, though, he was solid.
I've never really actually paid attention to him playing before, so I can't keep track of all the other teams. I keep track of the Lions and the Packers. Those are my two teams. So
the Lions.
I know. And they had a good season this year, despite the fact they lost their last three games. They were great this year.
Oh. Matt Stafford.
The poor Lions have been up against Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for the last 20-some years that I've been watching football, and it's just brutal. I mean, they're like almost there. And those two, they have to play them twice a year, and consequently they end up at the short side of the pile.
Reality is going to set in here in Wisconsin when number 12 retires, that's for sure. Because you don't get three Hall of Fame quarterbacks back to back to back. You just don't do it.
It's not been done, that's for sure.
I mean, the 49ers had Joe Montana to Steve Young. That was pretty good. Obviously, we had Favre to Aaron. But, I mean, even the Patriots, they had Tony Eason? Is that who... Who Brady took over for? I believe so, right?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he got hurt, and then here comes this guy from Michigan that nobody heard of, and now he's going to a 7th Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a nice-looking wife, too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
So does our president.
Yes, she does. Could she be any more?
Is that possible to be more attractive?
No.
Than Melania Trump?
And you know what? I'm not like a fashion expert, except for the fact that I sell fashionable eyewear, and so I have to know these things. The dress that she wore, the blue dress with the blue cape, was absolutely stunning. And I was at breakfast with some friends. We were having a mimosas that day for the inauguration, and I mentioned to it, and all my buddy friends were like, you know, you would pay attention to that. I'm like, she looks beautiful. She looks like Jackie Kennedy. That's just a fantastic outfit.
It's
a Ralph Lauren. I looked it up.
Jackie Kennedy was obviously a very attractive woman, and she went better with JFK than Melania does with Trump. However, Melania is the best-looking first lady we've ever had. I would say Melania's number one, Jackie Kennedy number two.
I agree.
And Mary Todd Lincoln number three.
Mary Todd could have used a little bit more personality, I think, but she was kind of crabby.
Mary Todd Lincoln, man, that was rough. Mm-hmm. Brutal. Well, folks, it was a brutal weekend as it ended for the Packers, but I've got a great idea. It'll pick up your spirits this next weekend. Go to the Racine Theater Grill, and you'll be full of yucks and laughs because they're doing the hilarious comedy Exit Laughing. It's running weekends all this month. That's when Connie and Leona, Millie and Mary, who've been bridge partners for years, and then Mary passes away, and the three remaining friends do what comes naturally. They steal Mary's urn, and that's when the hilarity ensues. Exit Laughing is a comedy about friendship, loss, and living life to the fullest. Visit RacineTheater.org for showtimes and tickets.
Glenn, I saw the play. It's hysterical. It's great play.
You saw Exit Laughing?
I did, yeah. We saw it on dress rehearsal night, actually.
Really?
And they did a terrific job. You wouldn't even know it was a dress rehearsal. Nobody missed a line. It was funny. The audience was very into it.
Did hilarity ensue?
Hilarity ensued, yes.
I don't think that the Democrats are in a hilarious mood right now with the current occupant of the White House. When they're cheering a singer named Madonna, suggesting that she's thought about burning down the White House? Or did she say
blowing it up.
Yeah. I don't think they're thinking right.
I don't either. I think it's going to take this 100 days is going to be a very, very interesting, fast-paced scenario. We mentioned briefly about the Supreme Court decision coming up. I've said all along I thought it was going to be Diane Sykes. I'm hearing a little bit more that it might be William Pryor, but it's probably one of those two people. And I think with the current women's movement, it probably would behoove him to pick Diane Sykes just for that, because she'll be a little bit harder to take out. She's very, very talented, very, very smart lady. Known about her for the last 20 plus years because she was a Wisconsin State Supreme Court for a couple of years, and that she's been on the federal bench since I think 12 years now. Pryor was a little bit more divisive, and in fact, you might have recalled towards the end of the Bush administration, they finally made an agreement to let three or four judges that were tied up for a couple of years, and Pryor was one of those from Alabama. So I think Sykes would be a little bit safer, and then Pryor or Ted Cruz would be the second appointee to the Supreme Court. And I know a lot of people in the Senate would like to get Ted Cruz out, and a lot of people that supported Trump and supported Cruz would love to see him as Supreme Court Justice.
Well, of course, today the Senate committee for the State Department is going to vote on Rex Tillerson.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to make it, which that's the one I thought wouldn't
but
make
they
it.
But they haven't said where Marco Rubio is, because he asked Tillerson if he felt, Tillerson, of course, has had a close relationship in business as the CEO of ExxonMobil with Vladimir Putin in Russia, if he felt, this was in his confirmation hearings, if Tillerson felt that Putin had committed war crimes, and Tillerson would not take a position on it.
Right. And I think that was probably, while it was diplomatic, that's the job he's running for, is chief diplomat. So a good diplomatic answer like that, I'm okay with. I personally wanted to have Mitt Romney in that position. I think Mitt Romney would be the absolute perfect offset to Donald Trump on the world stage as the Secretary of State. I've been a big fan of Mitt Romney for a long time. I got a lot of flack for it, that he was not going to make it there and he wasn't good enough. And the fact is, he came within a couple of states. If he hadn't had the backlash from the arch Christians that refused to vote for him because he was a Mormon, I think he would. He would have won. And then they turn around and they vote for Donald Trump,
who's
the least Christian guy to run in probably 50 years.
And he might be the most Christian-friendly to the evangelicals that we've ever had. More than Ronald Reagan, more than George W. Bush.
And more than Jimmy Carter, even.
Well, Jimmy Carter. But
he ran on his whole Christianity.
He did, but it wasn't until after Carter that the moral majority started with Jerry Falwell. It is unbelievable. I used to say, and I was absolutely convinced of this, that the end of the Republican Party was going to be the religious right.
Yeah.
As it turns out, it was Donald Trump that was the end of the religious right, not the Republican Party. I mean, he co-opted them. When he goes down to Liberty University and in referencing Paul's second letter to the Corinthians says,
to Corinthians.
I mean, and he has Paula White give a prayer at the inauguration. Do you know who she is?
I do not.
She is a prosperity teacher. I used to live in Tampa. She had a huge church with her now her ex-husband, Randy White, in Tampa. Massive church.
Okay.
Church without walls. And made millions of dollars. Big TV show. She is a shyster. I mean, she is but there she was. She's got hundreds of thousands, millions of followers worldwide. And there she was. I mean, he really has co-opted the religious right from a political standpoint of very, very smart. But that's why I think he's going to have to give he's going to have to throw him a bone. And I don't think that they're going to do anything with gay rights. But I think that Roe versus Wade will be overturned eventually, especially if Trump gets two or three.
Three or four might be asking a lot. Yeah,
but although
you got a lot of people there that are pretty old. Kennedy's up there. Breyer's up there. By the way, what's Breyer's with the hat?
I didn't notice the hat.
He was wearing a goofy hat. Actually, I looked it up, and it turns out Antonin Scalia started this 8 years ago wearing a goofy hat.
Oh, I did see that.
Like a goofy black hat,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was like a beanie.
Obama's thing, and then he wore a different one, and then Breyer also wore one. So I think this was sort of a tribute to Scalia that Breyer wore one the other day.
Well, he's not that old. His name is Ken Brown. He is a local businessman in Racine. He's an activist with the Tea Party and the Republican Party of Racine County.
Do I have time for one quick plug?
Sure, go ahead.
My plug would be, and my request is, anybody in Racine and Kenosha, we're going to be hosting a forum down at the Great Lakes Room at Gateway on February the 16th from 7 to 8:15. We've invited all three candidates for the DPI. It's the only statewide contested race that's out there since there was no Supreme Court one. We've invited Dr. Evers, Dr. Lowell Holtz, and John Humphreys have both confirmed. So we look forward to seeing you there. If you're an educator or you're interested in education, this is the biggest race in the state. Hope to see you February 16th. Thank you.
That was very concise and right to the point. And so on a scale of 1 to 10 with the new president, where are you at?
Oh, right now I'm going to be in a 6 range.
You're in a 6.
And he was about the 14th out of 17 in my list of guys. But I do want to see Paul Ryan's agenda succeed, and this is the best avenue for that. We'll see where it looks in 30, 60, and 90 days.
Would Ken Brown say that even though when we met at the Southeast Wisconsin Cigar Society and I told you Trump could win and you said no way, would you now say that Ken Brown is on the Trump train?
No.
No?
No, but I want him to succeed on the things that I want him to succeed on.
But I'll tell you who is on the Trump train, and he encouraged many people during the presidential campaign here in Wisconsin to jump on. It was former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson.
Stand up and tell those individuals that have not seen the light yet, some Republicans, it's time to get on the train. The Trump train is moving. We need you on the Trump train.
Okay, Tommy.
Your radio friend is on AM 1400 WRJN Racine, FM 98.1 Kenosha, and FM 99.9 Racine.
An early thank God it's Monday. Hour of Power follows WRJN covering the world at 10 o'clock.
Deadly wet weather. Trump welcomes business leaders. I'm Evan Haining. The storm system that rolled through southeastern states has killed at least 19 people. Meteorologist John Trout reports.